Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
My talk title today is The Demonstration of Love. And when we think about love, we think about, you know, it's Valentine's Day. February is Love Month, and so we think about that. And it's romantic love. And it's the kind of love that says, please bring presents. And please send flowers to my office so that everyone can see them and they know that I'm loved. It's a kind of love that says, please bring me chocolate, but not any kind of chocolate, dark chocolate, truffles maybe. Yeah. It's the kind of love that says, please take me out to dinner so I feel appreciated. Mostly because I don't want to cook, but also so I feel appreciated. It's that kind of love, but we're not going to talk about that kind of love today. And there's not that there's anything wrong with flowers and chocolate and going out to dinner, and I'm very open to receiving those. And in fact, if anybody has any, I'll be available after the service. But we're not talking about that love today, but I have to apologize because Debbie and Bill, it's their 12th year anniversary today. So and they came because I was going to talk about love, but not that kind of love. So love is an emotion. Love is complicated, isn't it? It's an emotion. It's a feeling. We have affection for each other. We cherish each other. We care for each other. Love is glorious. And we say, I love you. And sometimes it can be a little conditional. There's a tether tied to it that I need you to be a certain way. I need you to act a certain way, to be a certain way. So we are in love with people as long as they're behaving, as long as they do what we want them to do. Love is kindness. It's kindness, compassion, empathy. We do loving things for our neighbors until they misbehave. You know, and then so that's the human personality love. That's the ego love. It's complicated because we want to give, but yet we want to receive, and it's a complicated bartering system. But there's another kind of love, and it's that divine love that comes from source, that comes from spirit. It's that love, universal love. And there's a creative impulse of all life. We know that love is that creative impulse. Ernest Holmes says, love is the sole impulse for creation. The whole universe is based on love. So it was that spark of love that created the universe. Love is also a presence. It's the presence. I think of it as the ethereal glue that holds the universe together. There is no place where God is not. It's that universal presence. And Emma Curtis Hopkins says, it's well to say that God is unbounded, unlimited love. God is our love. There is an instinctive seeking of all things for love. Love is another name for life. And another way to identify this universal love is power. Love is a divine power. It's the very breath that we breathe, and it's the elixir that heals. And what do we call on when we're in times of trouble? We call on love. We know the power of love. We know that it's there. It's not the love we see out in the world that it's about power and control, but it's about love that surrenders. It's about love that is giving. So we know that love is unbounded, unlimited, radiant, dynamic, living power, and that love is life itself, and that we are one with that. Ernest says, the essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything, fires the heart, stimulates the emotion, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit. Only love knows love, and love only knows love. Love only knows love. So we know we're loved unconditionally. We know that spirit is around us all the time. Why is it so hard to remember? Does anybody know? Why is it so easy to fall away from that? Those days where it can seem light years away. Can anybody else relate? You know, it's an inside job. We have to do the job on the inside. We often look for it outside. But unless we know all the time that we are divinely loved, we can forget and we can fall away. All it takes is somebody to cut us off in traffic, right? Or to step in front of us in line somewhere. Or, heaven forbid, something go wrong with the computer. You know, like, what do we do with that? Why is it the computer makes us go off immediately? Well, there was recently a study from Tulane University. An economist was worried about the state of our well-being in our country. So we brought together a group of politically diverse experts to study the state of the nation. And they found it quite interesting. The U.S. economy is performing better than anyone else, any of our peers. Better than China, better than India, inching higher than Europe and Japan. And even though there's more wealth, there's a higher experience of isolation and aloneness. When they asked Americans how satisfied they are with their own lives, the U.S. ranks lower than it did 3 decades ago. And so they asked the experts, well, what does this mean? What do you think this means? And they said the United States is less focused on well-being and happiness. We have a lot of attention on economic growth. But we forget about us as individuals. There's a lack of awareness and a divide in the haves and have-nots. So we feel cut off from each other. And the differences have been magnified. And we're bombarded with it on the news and talk radio about how separate we are, how different we are. We're told that we're separate because we look different or act different or have a different color of our skin or behave in have a different set of customs or cultures, that we're different, we're separate. So we stay hunkered down, we stay in our own space, and that isolation begins to build. We separate ourselves from each other in love. How do we connect with love? And you might ask, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. And more than ever before, each one of us makes a difference. Each one of us has that power to change this. We can change this by our knowing, by our understanding. We know through our teachings from Ernest Holmes that we're all connected, right? That we're all one. That we're all connected. So when one of us is feeling that place of love, that vibration of joy, of oneness, it is true for others. And we send that out, we raise that for everyone else. Carolyn Mace says, we don't get that we breathe together we co-create together. We breathe together, we co-create together. She says the great paradox is that we're on this journey of consciousness, becoming conscious of the power of co-creation, of what you and I can do together, what we can know together. We have not yet woven ourselves together as a co-creative force. She says, what we do next is how we will shape the world. What we do next is how we will shape the world. And so our work is to stay grounded. So you know me, I like spiritual practice. So I brought us some tools. How do we stay grounded? Well, we pay attention to our emotions and our thoughts. What am I feeling? And we're feeling something all the time. Did anybody have any emotions before they came here today? Yeah, a couple, right? A couple. And so acknowledge them. Whatever they are, just acknowledge them. Allow them to come up. And if you need to replace them, my favorite one to replace them when I'm out of sorts is from the Course in Miracles. I can see peace instead of this. I can see peace instead of this. And to be accepting, to be open to accepting newness, be open to possibilities. We're in a time right now, and I catch myself all the time, where I look at the world and I think of all the worst case scenarios. Does anybody else do that? You know, the worst case scenarios. This is our opportunity to see what is the highest thought that we have. Where's the highest thought we could go? Be open, believe that anything is possible. Do you know what? We don't have all the answers. Did you ever think about that? The answers are the infinite possibility. It's that place that we live in. It's infinite possibility. There are all kinds of answers available. When you feel overwhelmed with information, it's to stop and go into that unity. Make a conscious point, a conscious intention to come back to that place of love, to come back to that place of unity. Pay attention to where your time and energy goes. Who are you engaging in? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Pay attention. The second one is to access the intelligence of the heart. And this is, a lot of research has been done on heart coherence. The human heart's magnetic field can be measured up to several feet away from the body. And the heart emits electromagnetic fields that change according to your emotions. So positive emotions create physiological benefits in the body. You can even boost your immune system. And coherence is when the heart, the mind, and emotions are aligned and they're working together harmoniously. So right now, let's practice that. Go ahead and put your hand on your heart. Take a couple breaths. Just, and as you breathe, notice that your heart starts to slow down. Breathe into that heart space. Right now, think of something or someone you care about. Think of someone you appreciate. Think about something or someone you are grateful for. Think about something or someone you feel compassion toward. Okay, you just activated your heart coherence. You can bring your awareness back. So the heart and the brain are in coherence, and it's that feeling is magnified. when you think of any one of those areas, you create that coherence. Imagine yourself remembering that in that time of stress, to just come back to the heart and remember that. That relationship in the heart is a powerful place of love and connection. So the third one is to release and let go, to not hang on to the past. I remember my dad years ago was telling me a story about something that happened when he was with his brother and they were out fishing and something happened. He was telling me this story and I said, oh my gosh, Dad, when did that happen? He said, 1978. It's like, why are you hanging on to it? But don't we do that? We remember the date, remember the day, we remember what happened. We remember that stuff and then we repeat it. It's like, release it and let it go. Take a breath. Ah, let's do that together. Ah, once again. Ah, let it go. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the past. Let go of that. Nelson Mandela tells a story about how he was with his bodyguards walking through town, and they went to a place to eat. And they sat down, and he ordered his lunch. And as his lunch came, he noticed there was a man sitting a table away, and he was sitting alone. And so Nelson Mandela said to his bodyguard, please ask the man to come join me. So he did. He came and he sat next to him, and the man never looked at him. He just stared at his food, and he finished his food, and he got up, and he kind of waved. Nelson shook his hand, and he left. And the guard said, oh my goodness, something's wrong with that man. He was shaking the whole time he was sitting here. I think he's very sick. And Nelson said, no, he's not sick. He was the guard at the jail that I was in. And here's what he says. Often after torture, I screamed and cried for water, and he came to humiliate me. Oof. He laughed at me, and he didn't give me water. He made fun of me. He wasn't sick. He was scared and shaken and feared that maybe now that I'm president of South Africa, that I would send him to jail and do the same thing he did with me, torture and humiliate him. But that's not me. That behavior is not part of my character or my ethics. Minds that seek revenge destroy states, while those that seek reconciliation build nations. Such a powerful story of forgiveness. And I thought about my own petty little separate things that I hold on to. I was like, I was able to let go of those after that. To pay attention and let go. It's not worth it. It's not to divide, but to build nations. We want to build community, to build our lives together. And the fourth way is to live in a state of gratitude. And many of us are in a gratitude practice. We say gratitude in the morning when we say our spiritual mind treatment, or we say gratitude in the evening before we go to bed. But I read that the power is in being in constant gratitude. In fact, Sonia Choquette, author, mystic, and writer, she says, You speak your words of gratitude 100 times a day. 100 times a day. And so I've been practicing that. I don't think I'm up to 100. I lost count, but I'm not really counting. But what it is you find that place of, what am I grateful for in the moment? I'm so grateful to be here with you. I'm so grateful to see all of you. You have this beautiful building. You have wonderful music. You have a wonderful community to come to. I'm so grateful it wasn't snowing or raining. I'm grateful that we have this time together. I'm so grateful that we're connected. So you just build on that and go and go and go. Esther Hicks calls it a rampage of appreciation. We get on a rampage of appreciation and stay on that. Notice how it changes. It amplifies that heart coherence. It amplifies and raises that vibration up. So, the four ways to stay in love: pay attention to emotions and thoughts, access the intelligence of the heart, release and let go, and live in a state of gratitude. So what? Why is that so important? And here's why. Paul Selleck writes in the book of Knowing and Worth, when you move into a conscious intention to love, you vibrate in a higher way to embrace and lift. When we are conscious about our intention to love, we are raising that vibration. We are lifting not only our energy, not only ourselves, but everyone around us. When you are judging, you do not love. When you are frightened and in fear, you do not love. When you see the one before you in their worth and worthiness of love, you heal. You gift them, and by gifting them, you gift yourself. This is the most powerful practice we have, and it is the most difficult one we have. In this time, in this moment, we have all been called here for this moment, by the way. We've all been called here. You are not in spiritual community by mistake. Your soul came here. Your soul found each other. And we're here in Centers for Spiritual Living, which is nationwide. We're all here together to do this work of oneness. But when we can see someone, even the ones we don't like, not naming any names, if you can see ones before you in your worth, see ones before you as worthy of love. Because if we fall into the trap of hatred, we build the hatred. When we fall into the trap of anger and resentment, we build that energy. We're at a conscious point of changing the universal consciousness here on the planet. And it's up to us to be in that presence of love. This is very hard work. And Reverend Bridget said it so beautifully last week. If you watch her talk again, we can do hard things. Right? We can do hard things. We can do this. We can stay in that space of love. We can be in that place of love. We are contributing to the energy and vibration of the planet when we're centered and in alignment, not when we're separate and angry. And anger has its place, but to productive anger that I can do something about this, that inspires me to take action. And so James O'Day is an activist, a leader, an author, and a peacemaker. And I found him many years ago, his book, The Soul Awakening Practice. And I'm going to share that with you today. He is an activist, a leader, an author. He was the president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, the Washington Office of Amnesty International. He has a long credential of things he's done in the world. And I remember one of the stories he told is he started as an activist when he was age 14. He just wanted to, he knew it was in him. He knew it was in his drive, in his DNA, to make a difference in the world. And that's what he started doing. And he says, love loves you as you, without reservations or conditions. It loves you, as you are, not as you might be, not as you should be. It has faith, and you're unfolding even over lifetimes. Love loves us. Love, we are loved every day. Our work is to stay there, remember that, and be that. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I can't even find the words sometimes. But I fall back on his prayer. And we're going to do this as a call and response. We're going to do it. Let's see, I left that. Going to do it four times. I'm going to do it as many times as I can remember the prayer. So, but here's the words, but we're going to do it as a call and response. Thank you. Oh, thank you. That's what I needed. Heart opening, light shining, love flowing, wounds dissolving, peace radiating. It's a powerful prayer, and he goes around the world and teaches this because he doesn't teach some form of religion or a faith, but this is a non-denominational prayer that covers all the bases, in my opinion. It covers all the bases. And he does this as he goes out to, he goes out to countries around the world to do this. So the first time we're going to do it for ourselves. So I'm going to speak and then you repeat. Heart opening.
Heart opening.
Light shining.
Light shining.
Love flowing.
Love flowing.
Wounds dissolving.
Wounds dissolving.
Peace radiating.
Peace radiating.
Take a moment and breathe that in for yourself. Now this time, allow an image of a loved one to appear before you. Heart opening.
Heart opening.
Light shining.
Light shining.
Love flowing.
Love flowing.
Wounds dissolving.
Wounds dissolving.
Peace radiating.
Peace radiating.
Take a breath. And so this time, we do it for a community. You can do it for this community or a community that you're in. Bring that image in a way in front of you. And I'm sorry, I kept leaving out the first line. So we're going to start with the first line. Soul awakening.
Soul awakening.
Heart opening.
Heart opening.
Light shining.
Light shining.
Love flowing.
Love flowing.
Wounds dissolving.
Wounds dissolving.
Peace radiating.
Peace radiating.
Take a breath. Breathe that in. See that for your community. And this last one is for humanity. Open your heart as we say this for humanity. Soul awakening.
Soul.
Heart opening.
Heart opening.
Light shining.
Light shining.
Love flowing.
Love flowing.
Wounds dissolving.
Wounds dissolving.
Peace radiating.
Peace radiating.
Now this is a prayer you can say when you don't know what else to say, you can say this prayer. If you want to speak this prayer for someone else, if you want to use it in your meditation practice, this is something that you can use that is and visualize your heart opening and light shining and love flowing. Visualize the wounds dissolving. Visualize peace radiating everywhere. So let's take this into prayer. How grateful I am for this opportunity to be in this awareness of love, this awakening of the soul, knowing that we have come together in community to know, to live, to breathe together that presence of love, knowing that love has its way with us this day, that love surrounds us and blesses us, it heals us. Love is the divine elixir that changes us. And so I know that we have been lifted in love in a beautiful way. I know that we have been lifted into an awareness of oneness and that we have the tools to stay there. We have the tools to speak love wherever we are, whatever we are doing. And so how grateful I am. And I know that this love that we have here today is sent out in not only into our community, into our city, into our state, into our country, and around the planet. Any place where there is darkness, we send love. Any place where there is discord, we send love. Any place where there is pain, we send love. And how grateful we are for love. How grateful we are for this teaching here and now. I give thanks, grateful thanks for all of this being so. I release this word in deep gratitude. And so it is.
So it is.
Blessings, and know that you are loved. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org. and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.